Good morning. Amen. Very good. We're in Romans, the 10th chapter. This verse is filled with why, what we're doing, what we can do for Christ to save people. What part of it is ours and what part of it is His. Amen? And I'll go ahead and give you a hint. We don't have anything to do with it. Amen. But there are things we're supposed to do. And let me just kind of frame this in this picture. What would you do to see people saved? That's a big question, isn't it? The first thing that came to my mind is love my enemy. I think about them regularly, so why shouldn't I pray for them? That'll hit y'all in a minute. But if I'm thinking about them and I'm angry, I'm in sin. So I should be praying for them that they may turn their life to Christ. Then they won't be my enemy because I'm not their enemy. I want to be their friend. We can care for the dying. Somebody called me and told me that she wanted me to come see her husband, that he's got stage 4 cancer and going to take some radiation or chemotherapy. And when they're finished with all that, I'm supposed to come. I'm going, why don't I catch him before he goes and has all that, just in case? And I said it very politely. Amen. Never mind. Be willing to be used up for others to hear about Jesus. To do what the Lord tells us to die to self and live for other people. Amen? Pray for people individually and in groups. You know, I pray that as Christians, you pray for people to be saved every time you come to church. I hope you prayed about that long before you got here. Go anywhere. Talk to anyone. Sometimes we hesitate when that's what God wants us to do. Talk to anyone. God's plan of salvation. I'll read the first verse. Brothers, and that indicates in the Greek, that really means brothers and sisters. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Let's pray. Dear Father, may we develop a heart that others may be saved, doing what you've commanded us to do, God, to talk to people, to love people, to care for people, to reach people for you. Help us, Lord, to do your will. I pray this day in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. In 7, 8, and 9 chapters in Romans, Paul's talking to the Jewish people about, you know, their position. Let me tell you, they had all the great positions. God chose them through Abraham. God says, I'm going to bless the world because of you, Abraham. Not so much the Jewish people, but Abraham. And because he was the father of the Jewish people, they're blessed because of him. He gave them the prophets. He gave them the law. He gave them Moses. Gave them all these things. And what would they do? They would invariably walk or slide away from God. And comes right down to Jesus Christ coming through the Jewish people. Now, a lot of people hate the Jews. I'm thinking, you know, y'all not real bright. They're real close and kin to him. Y'all catch on in a minute, but he's Jewish, y'all. If you ain't a Jew, maybe I'm on wrong. But think, so the Jewish people, Paul's telling them, y'all have had so many different things that God's blessed you with. and you have constantly been hard-hearted and hard-headed. You won't listen to him. You won't even see Abraham, because see, he kept telling him, so listen, Abraham was saved or made righteous because he believed God. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you believe God. If you didn't believe God, you're not saved. You have to do it God's way. You can't do it your way. Now, the world's filled with people that believe they can do it on their own because they're qualified or they're good enough to be saved because look how nice I am. I know I'm better than Bill Horn, so I can go to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't compare to each other. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. That's the only one you can compare yourself. And I'm sure that you cannot be as perfect as he is because he's absolutely perfect. So he keeps telling them over and over again, y'all have fallen aside. You've not listened to your own scriptures that Moses brought down and y'all put together by command of God. You won't listen. It's almost like people being hard-headed. One of the big misgivings of today is that most people believe that they have to cooperate with God to be saved. Now, let me tell you a little secret. You actually don't do anything of it. If you've ever done anything for your salvation, you're lost. You say, well, no, Brother Bill, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, from the Bible. Now, whatever interpretation you make of it, you better read it again because you're wrong. The Bible says that God is the one who saves. Amen. We must be good to be accepted of God. No, if that was true, none of us would be here today. Because I assure you, everyone in this room is a sinner. God says you cannot earn your way to heaven. So the condition of Israel was pretty pathetic. Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for them is that they may now that they may be saved. This is Paul's absolute desire. He goes on to say, I would, if I thought I could do it, and he couldn't, I would go to hell so that my brothers, Jewish people, could be saved. That's what he's saying. He says, I would take their place. Well, since he's not Jesus Christ, he can't. And since he's a saved person, he's never going to heaven. Going to hell. So he couldn't die. But that's how deep a thought he carried it to, that he would be willing to die. Has anybody ever thought that before? If somebody, you know, you love so deeply and you want them to be in heaven and they're going just as hard as they can the other way, would you pull them back? And I know I've listened to parents talking about their kids and drugs and such, and you know, could snatch them back to when they were a little younger. Paul's burden for his kinsmen was great. In chapter 9 of Romans, if I can turn my page, it says, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That is deep. That is heartfelt. Verse 2 says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. They're zealous for God in the sense of following the law. They think because they go and they sacrifice and things of this nature, everything's fine. But God tells them it's not. It's kind of like people that come to church and they say, well, I was here. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I'm just supposed to come to church. If that's all church is, no, no. God wants us to love each other, care for each other, to work for him, to do things. I mean, it's not just coming, because this is not a tag team. This is absolutely serving Christ. And if you can think, well, that's all I need to do, that's all somebody wants me to do, that's not true. Verse 3, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, way of doing things. Think about that. What a sorry, sorry day. It's just confusion is really what it is. If you think of in Hebrews 11:6, it says, again, if I can turn my page. Goodness gracious. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God but must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. God wants us not to be confused. Verse 3 again says, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God, right to God's righteousness. God's righteousness is Jesus Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Titus 3:5 talks about he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our heart. He changes us. He changes us for the good. Verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And that's great. Except the Bible says if you mess up on one commandment, you've messed up on all the commandments. So no one, Old Testament, New Testament, could live the law or the Ten Commandments or all the statutes, could live those except for one person, and that was Jesus Christ. That's why he could die for you and you could live, because he fulfilled the law of God. Now, God made a way to where people could be saved if they trusted in him in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. The Old Testament, you came and you made sacrifices and you made sure that you were upright and you tried to do right and you had faith in God. It goes on in verse 6. But the righteous based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who can go to heaven and bring Christ down? No one. No one's great enough to do that. And it goes on, it says, or who will descend to the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess with your mouth. That has to come from somewhere. You know, some people can say words and they act like they mean it. But in truth, when you confess Christ to salvation, you're saying what your heart says. I believe in God through Christ. I now will only trust him to be my Savior. I can't trust myself. I can't trust somebody else. I can only trust Jesus Christ. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Think, you don't have to do anything but confess, knowing that he is here to save you. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Verse 11, it talks about assurance. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. I have the assurance that I will not go to heaven and be downcast or ashamed. Jesus Christ, he saved me. He washed me clean of all my sin. I will be presented in heaven as a newborn babe. Now, God knows, I know, that I'm not a newborn babe, but Jesus Christ, by his blood, has washed me clean. So I have that assurance. In verse 12, it says the acceptance. It says, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. Let me tell you a little secret. That's everybody. The Jew and the Greek, there's only Jews and Greeks are Gentiles. And everybody in this room so far, my understanding is everybody in here is Greeks or Gentiles. Amen, Brother Bill. Think about it. Jews have one calling and Gentiles have one calling. No, we're the same. They don't have anything on us and we don't have anything on them. Now, they have the privilege of being Jews in the sense that, as I said, they had so many things given to them, so many things that should have alerted to them, so many things that people, I was talking this morning, talked about how people just keep, they get into sin and they just go down. Never up, always down. You ever notice that? I mean, you don't just take one pill a day, you take 10 a day. Then you take 20 a day. Sometimes people take all kind of stuff every day, all day. They didn't come from 50 down to one. There's always one up. And you think about the alcoholic, same thing. Takes a little bit of drink. What does he do? Next day, more. I talked about a man that he was drinking a gallon a day of vodka. Now, y'all, let me tell you a little secret what that's going to do to you. What it did to him, ruined his heart, ruined his liver, and he died. Now, about a year before he died, he had to go in the hospital because his liver was giving him such trouble. And the doctor said, you know, if you quit drinking, you'll live. He didn't quit drinking because a year later, I preached his funeral. A gallon a day, he went right back to it. He was in a habit, and his body or something tells him, I need a gallon of vodka a day. Y'all, that's what humans are so weak. We do things that's killing us, and we still do them.
Amen.
And then in verse 13, amnesty. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He has given us amnesty. We are set free from our penalty. We will never, ever experience as Christians hell. God says, I take that off the table. Now, Baptists, we get in trouble. Y'all know that because a lot of other denominations say we're so believing that we get lax in our lifestyle. Well, we're not supposed to live in sin, y'all. As Christians, we're to walk with Christ. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to do what he wants us to do. We want to follow him. It's like reading your Bible every day, and it's praying every day, and loving and caring and doing things that he tells us to. Otherwise, you know, we'll be just like the world. Well, God doesn't want us to be the world. He wants us to be absolutely like his son. We're to grow up. Amen? Verse 14, it says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? This little place tells you how God gets the word out. And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Listen, everybody says the preacher's supposed to tell everybody. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this room is a Christian, should be telling somebody else about Christ. There's no exceptions. Now, the word preaching is there. It doesn't say the preacher, it says preaching. The preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about it. He tells us to let people know they need a Savior. Why do you need a Savior? Because we're all sinners. Every human being is a sinner. So then the penalty of sin is death. That's hell for eternity. Now, think about that. Do you know everybody in this room only has one more moment to live? I mean, the possibility is horrible, but in truth, every one of us are under a death notice. Everybody should know that we're all going to die.
Amen.
A whole bunch of people here don't believe that. They believe we're going to live forever, right? Not here on earth, y'all. But think, God wants us to understand we are to be about the Father's business. We're to tell people what's coming. And then, you know, just how about tell them about Christ? Tell them about him being perfect, dying on a cross, being buried, coming out of that grave. You know, when if he'd still in the grave, we'd all be in trouble, but he's out of the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father. You think about it. Just all the beautiful things that he did for us. And it goes on in 15, it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The beautiful part is they go and they talk to other people about Christ. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. And a foolish nation, I will make you angry. What that's talking about is when God said the Gentiles can be saved, the Jewish people became jealous. They became angry. If you read the New Testament, Acts and Galatians, you found where Paul, he's going out telling the Gentiles because God says, the Jews are not listening to you, Paul. Go out to the Gentiles and witness to them. But Paul, his whole life, if you notice, he keeps going back to the synagogue. He keeps going and telling Jews, you need Jesus Christ. But his main focus became Gentiles and starting new churches. And he raised up people that became pastors and such as that. He did what the Lord told him to do. So the Jewish people who were Christians said, oh, wait a minute. You got to be circumcised to become a Christian. They wanted to put a law on them, put a rule on them to harm their walk with Christ. Paul said, no, it's got nothing to do with it. That's something that man came up with. Let me tell you something. Man came up with all kinds of stuff. You got to be baptized to be saved. Let me tell you, the Lord told you to be baptized, but if you don't get to the Baptist before you die, you're going to be right there in heaven just like the rest of us. Sorry, I don't care what religion says, you got to do it. It's a lie. Nowhere does it say you're going to lose your salvation because you don't get baptized. Think about all the people. You got to not eat certain foods. The Lord tells us to thank him for anything we eat. On and on and on, people choose things that are right there in the Bible. I mean, there are groups of people that don't use musical instruments in church. Don't ever take time to read the Bible and see the instruments through it. I mean, why would you take instruments out of church when it's in the Bible, in the New Testament? Amen, Brother Bill. Don't get excited, y'all. But think about what I'm trying to set in your mind is be careful what you believe because people will lead you astray and you know the truth. Christ died for your sins, buried, he arose, and he's alive. He's beside the Father in heaven right now, interceding for you and I. It goes on in verse 20. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. The Gentiles wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. They had all kind of gods and they had little wild orgies, celebrations of their gods. And God sent Paul in and said, listen, this is not what you're supposed to do. He witnessed to everybody. People began getting saved. Now, did that save everybody? No, just like it doesn't save everybody today. But God wants us to go and tell them, to give them the option that they don't have to go to hell. It goes on, 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Disobedient and contrary. There are parents that tell me, my child is not obedient. My child is hard, set in their ways, evil. Sometimes I have to ask them, have you taken them to church? Have you got them in church? Have you at least exposed them to Christ at home through the reading of the Word? Do you love your children? Do you cause them to be frustrated? You tell me. I mean, there's so many things. And I know there are good kids that turn bad. There are bad kids that turn good. And thank God for that. Amen? But I'm going to tell you a little secret. We're to be about our Christ's business. We're to witness to people anywhere we go. Amen? I pray you hear me. Let's all stand. I always invite people that they believe they're being convicted of the Holy Spirit. They should come and talk about salvation. And then if anybody here that would like to join this church through letter or by statement, it's also the time. Brother Carlos?